You're listening to Connect Communities Podcast, recorded live in Stamford, Connecticut. If you'd like to know more about our community, stop by our website at www.connectcommunity.tv. Enjoy the message.
We have been talking about soul rehab after the year we've had in 2020, getting into the year 2021. Nothing much has changed from a physical, circumstantial perspective. We went from December 31st into January 1st, and a lot of the challenges, a lot of the circumstances, a lot of the things that we have been fighting as a community are still happening. They're still present. There are still things that we see and hear and deal with, the virus, the pandemic, the social economic uncertainty, the social issues with justice and racism. They are all around us, and we are adjusting. But a new year brings new hope. It brings new expectations. It brings the ability for you to reset your heart, reset your perspective, and begin again to work toward God's goal and God's design for your life. And so that's what this series is about, is to help us realign and focus and use the scriptures as a foundation for a healthy spirit and a healthy soul. So we've been talking about several topics. Last week, I shared with you our overarching vision for 2020, which is the year of unity, a year where we're going to be united. God is bringing his people together, and that is a message for all people. So I want to encourage you to think about that. Think about what unity means to you. What does unity mean for you in your work environment? If you are a leader, if you are a supervisor, if you have a team under you, what does unity mean for your team? For the people in your team, how can you think about this message of unity that Jesus has entrusted us with and allow people to belong? What does it mean for your family? What does it mean for yourself? So as we meditate on that, as we think about unity, as we think about the guidance that we find in the scriptures through the gospel of Jesus, I want to continue today with a simple message, a short message, and I want to talk about leading yourself. I want to talk about self-leadership, which is really, really important, especially in the days that we live in with so much uncertainty. I want to help you understand the importance of leading, the importance of leading yourself and not just follow. So you're a leader. You're also a follower, because we follow counsel, we follow mentors, we follow the scriptures, we follow Jesus, we follow trends, we choose what to follow. But you are a leader. You might say, JD, I'm not a leader. I've never been a leader. To lead is to influence. To lead is to be an example that somebody else may follow. So yes, you are a leader. In some sphere, at some level, you are leading right now. So I want to encourage you to think about this in the next few minutes. What does it mean for you to lead? Starting with yourself, because the first person that you have to think about when you think of leadership is always yourself. You cannot lead your family, for those of you who are head of households. You cannot lead your teams, for those of you who are supervisors and managers. You cannot lead your company unless you are able to lead yourself. You have to start with yourself first. There are a few scriptures that support this and that focuses our mind on this sense of responsibility and self-leadership. The first one I want to remind you of, these are well-known scriptures that you have heard us talk about, is the one found in Romans 12:2, where the scripture says this. You can read it on the screen. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. What is Paul telling us here? We should focus on the will will of God, we should focus on the good and acceptable and perfect will of God for our lives. How do we do that? We do that by not conforming to this world. In other words, not allowing the world to lead us, not allowing the world to shape us, not allowing the world. And the world here is a very specific thing, is what is happening outside of the kingdom of God. Anything that's not under God's influence, God's leadership, God's domain, that is the world. And the world follows trends and ideas and principles that lead you away from God. So Paul is saying, a great way for you to lead yourself is to renew your mind constantly. Don't allow your mind to cement. Don't allow your mind to stay small. Don't allow your mind to remain connected and just following the trends of this world, but renew it constantly. Allow your mind to be renewed that you may discern the good will of God. Another passage that I want to read is in Hebrews 12:1, another well-known passage that you have heard us speak on. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. We are not alone in this journey. People have come before us. People have come and laid the groundwork for many of us. So we stand on the shoulders of others who have led themselves. And the writer to the Hebrews is saying there is this great cloud of witnesses that are cheering us on because they have come before us, like I said, and they have prepared the way in a way for us. And now it's our turn. Imagine a relay race when runners pass the baton. When the runner passes the baton, he doesn't turn his back and forgets about the race. The runner that passes the baton, in his mind, he thinks, I gave my best. I pushed this team forward. Now it's on you. And I'm going to cheer you on. And I'm going to root for you. And my eyes are on you, saying, keep running, keep running, keep running. That's what the writer to the Hebrews is telling us. There is a cloud of witnesses cheering us on. And because of that, because we are part of something much bigger than ourselves, let us set aside every weight and every sin. Every weight and every sin. There are things in your life that need to be laid aside because of God's purpose for you. Some of them are sinful, but not everything that is not sinful is good for you to carry, is useful for you to carry. You got to think about where you're going. And so this verse closes with a beautiful picture of self-leadership. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Only the runner can decide to run. Nobody's going to run for you. You have to decide to get up each morning and run your race. You have to decide to get up each day in 2021 and decide, this is going to be a year of blessings. This is going to be a year of victory. This is going to be a year where no pandemic, no socioeconomic unrest, no unemployment, no situation that's coming against me will be able to hold me back. This is a year where I will run with endurance the race that is set before me. What a beautiful picture. Another scripture that I want to encourage you with is a scripture that's dear to my heart. I shared this with you about 2 or 3 months ago. Ephesians 5, verses 8 through 10. This is what it says. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And this is a beautiful piece that I love. It's one of my anthems. Try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. This is a beautiful way for you to lead yourself in this difficult season. Reminding yourself, staying close to your salvation, reminding yourself that at one point you were darkness, but guess what? The light of Christ shone in your heart and showed your true self in Him. You are no longer darkness because that was not your true self. That was not the person that God designed you to be. Therefore, because you are light, you ought to walk as children of light. The power is in your hands, is in your decision. God gives you the full freedom to make that decision to walk as children of light. And the way we do that is by constantly trying to discern every single day what pleases the Lord. Wow. Wow. Every single day, discerning in our lives, does this please the Lord? Is this pleasing to God? Is this something that goes along with God's plan for my life? Knowing that His will is good, perfect, and acceptable. That His will is pleasing. Knowing that He wants the best for me. Knowing that His plan and purpose are for a hope and a future. Knowing that no eye has seen and no ear has heard what He has prepared for me. You should ask yourself, does this please the Lord? So you got to get a picture of a good God so that you can seek the good that He has for you. This is a great way for you to lead yourself. And this is what's going to happen. Once you begin to lead yourself, once you make that decision to lead yourself, no matter what, then you will notice that you will begin to influence others. You don't have to manipulate. You don't have to try to change people. You don't have to try to convince them. Your life will be a written testimony. Your life will become an example because you're not moved by circumstances. You're moved by conviction. And that's where God wants to lead you as you begin to lead yourself toward Him. This is a picture that we've shared with our lead team a while back. And this is something, a good analogy for you to remember. Be a thermostat, not a thermometer. What does that mean? Everywhere you go, everyone you interact with, every room you enter, let your life, your attitude, what exudes out of you, what comes out of your spirit, set the tone for the conversation, for the meeting, for the place that you're working, for the place that you are entering. Be a thermostat. You know what a thermostat does. We all know that very well here in the Northeast, especially in the last few days. My gosh, it's cold. I was in Memphis last week, and we were in the mid-50s when we landed, and then it got a little colder. Everybody was talking about how cold it was in Memphis because it was 40 degrees, and then I landed back here in Stanford for a chilly 14 degrees earlier this week, and oh my gosh, it was cold. What happened when I got home? I was able to take off my jacket, take off my sweater, and stay on a t-shirt and flip-flops. Why? I could have my sweatpants and t-shirt and flip-flops where everybody has to wear layers upon layers upon layers on the outside, because my home is equipped with a thermostat and I can set the temperature to whatever I want. So although outside was a cold, freezing 15 degrees in my house, it was a comfortable 71 degrees and everybody was having a good time. A thermostat does that. No matter what the circumstances are bringing to in your life, no matter the storms that you might be facing on the outside, on the inside, in your heart, the temperature is just right. Why? Because you are connected to God. Because you are leading yourself in His presence. Because you are seeking His will that is good, acceptable, and perfect. When you do that and you set the thermostat in your heart and you walk into a room with frigid temperatures, the room will begin to warm up because you're there. When you walk into a conversation, there's tension and animosity, and you bring the love of God, you bring the peace of God into that conversation, the temperature will change. Love will begin to flow. Understanding will begin to flow. Amicability will begin to flow. And you'll begin to sense the change in the atmosphere. As you lead yourself, you begin to influence others, and you will see people in your life You will see a change in your home life. You'll see a change with your friends. You'll see a change at work. And even if you work in an environment where you are not a leader, you might say, JD, I'm like the third, fourth, fifth string person in the leadership hierarchy in my business. I'm not leading anybody. I'm the one following. I take orders. No. You can lead up. And the way you lead up is by being an example, is by being ready, is by being a team player, is by always being ready for the challenges and offering wise counsel when it's appropriate, offering wisdom when it's appropriate, when there's a window for you to shine the light of God that's in you, to sow a seed of peace, to sow a seed of confidence. You can walk in that situation fervently and with passion, knowing that God is leading you, and that because you know where you stand, you're going to begin to influence people, even your leaders, so that they will see that there's something different about you. Yes, you can lead up. Yes, you can influence your leaders as you begin to be a thermostat. Now, on this same idea of being a thermostat and not a thermometer, I want to share a passage with you in 2 Timothy, a passage that shows how you can be a great and effective leader. This is Paul counseling his young disciple, Timothy, who was a pastor, and he was telling Timothy how to be an effective leader. And not only that, giving Timothy counsel on how to raise other leaders beneath him. So this is a longer passage, but I'm going to go through it really quickly with you. If you can follow on the screen, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14, this is what Paul says. Remind them of these things and charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good but only ruins the hearers. So he's telling us fighting doesn't do any good. Pay attention to your words, the words that do no good. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Where is the source? Where does our ability to stand approved before God come from? Handling properly the word of truth. He continues, but God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal: the Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Now in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use and some for dishonorable use. He continues, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. You have a part in it. It's not just about God coming and cleaning yourself. Listen to what the scripture says. If anyone cleanses himself, there is a posture, there is a search, there is a desire, there is an attitude. You ought to lead yourself. What you do is important. How you engage life is important. So this is Paul telling Timothy, don't be passive about this. Don't be passive about this. And as you teach your people, teach him not to be passive, but to be proactive. If anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. So flee from youthful passions. That's our charge. Flee means to run away from youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. This is a beautiful, beautiful passage. He continues, have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach patiently, enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. This is very relevant to our season right now. There's a lot of quarrelsome controversies, a lot of quarrels out there, which just mean fighting, right? Just mean disagreement and back and forth. What the scripture is telling us is lead yourself away from it. Don't get involved. It's going to poison your heart. And we've all been in situations like that, a text message that's misunderstood, a conversation that comes off the wrong way, and posts that we engage with that we shouldn't, a Twitter war that we might be involved in. The scripture is saying, don't engage. It's going to get your heart to a place where you shouldn't. The Lord's servant should not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone. Let's take that to heart and lead ourselves in 2021 to be kind and to promote unity in that way. He closes the passage. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. This is a very, very powerful and important piece in this scripture that you got to take to heart. It is not our job to change people's minds. It is our job to stand as an example. Your job is to be an example and to lead yourself. It's not your job to go and try to feel responsible for somebody else's action. Our pastor, Joel Osteen, used to say this, and this is something that marked my heart and shaped the way I lead. You are not responsible for people, you are responsible to people. And that's true of you. You're not responsible for every single thing other people do. You can't be. That's exhausting. It'll take you down a path of frustration, anger, anxiety, animosity, and you're going to fight everyone and every person. You're not even going to be able to commune with other believers in a church or any type of group setting. You will feel like you need to fix everything or not be part of it at all. And that's not the charge that God is giving us. God may perhaps grant them the repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth. It is up to them to choose repentance. It is up to you to lead yourself and to make sure that you are an example. Wow. I hope that this is good seed in your soil. I hope that you're getting this and receiving this, and this is blessing you. I came across a quote this week that I wanted to share with you in this message. I met a great friend. His name is Dr. Andy Yarborough. He's a clinical psychologist, and we were talking about the principle of what comes first. And he shared this quote. I want to read it to you because I believe it's going to bless you. And this is how we're going to close the message today. Dr. Andy Yarborough said this: what you seek first organizes the rest of your life. Just think about that. From a point of leadership, of you leading yourself, whatever you seek first organizes the rest of your life. And some of you, you're letting the circumstances around you organize your life. You're letting the circumstances around you, the trouble, the anxiety, the fear, organize even how you seek God. Organize how you pray. It might have been the thing that pushed you to watch this service right now. You're looking for something to get that thing away from you. But what's organizing your life is your worry. What's organizing your life is your anxiety. What's organizing your life is the problem that you're facing. And that's not good, because you can't sustain a life and take your life to the positive when whatever is organizing your life is the negative. We need to change that. We need to lead ourselves away from that. And the way we do that is by following what Jesus told us. Jesus already knew this principle, the principle of firsts. Whatever you seek first organizes the rest of your life. What did Jesus say? You've heard this passage before if you've been a Connect community. If this is your first time hearing this passage, read attentively, and I encourage you to read at your own time this week. This is a great passage. If you don't get anything away from this message, get this: Matthew 6, 25 through 34. That's what you should read this week. This is what Jesus said: therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life and what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body and what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? I want you to remember that Jesus was not speaking to people in the 21st century who have closets full of clothing, options in what to wear for their shoes, and a fridge full of food with a pantry that's overflowing. We have an abundance of food and clothing in our society today. You don't have to worry about what you're going to eat. There's food. We waste so much food. And if you do have concern about food, if you do have food insecurity, we have resources in our city. We have resources around us that can help you. So food is not a necessity that is that hard to come by as it was for Jesus' hearers. Mostly every person, except for those that were on that 1%, had to worry about food, had to worry about what to wear. You got to remember that 1% problem that we hear in the news today is not something that's new. It's not something that capitalism created. We've always had the 1%, the 1% that held most of the wealth. What happened is that in Jesus's day, the 99% were poor. Everyone was poor. And they had to worry about clothing. They had to worry about food. They had to, those are legitimate things that people thought about every single day. And Jesus said, don't be anxious about that. Now, if you're not anxious about food already, I don't want you to gloss over this passage. Replace that with whatever it is that brings you anxiety. It might be your marriage. It might be your career. It might be money in the bank to do what you need to do. It might be that you feel like your life is futile, meaningless. It might be a lack of purpose. Whatever it is, it might be fear of this pandemic. Whatever it is, Jesus is saying, do not be anxious about your life and that thing. Now that might seem something really wrong for Jesus to say. That might seem like a challenge that does not make logical sense. Because if you're not worried about it, and I'm telling you to lead yourself, you might think, there's a conflict here, JD. Your message is disagreeing with itself. Because how can I lead myself and not worry about the things that I actually need to conquer, the things that I need to address? See, it's not about not wanting them to be solved. It's not about that the fact that you're not going to eat anymore. That's not what Jesus is saying. What Jesus is saying is, what should be first in your mind is not that thing. What should lead your life is not that thing. What should organize your life is not what brings you anxiety. He's not saying don't eat, don't put on clothes. He's saying don't allow those things to organize your life. He continues, verse 30. But if God so clothes the grass in the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or when is the pandemic going to be over? Or when am I going to get a job? Or what shall we wear? Or when is this marriage going to get better? Or when is this relationship going to get better? Or when am I going to get the promotion? Or when am I going to get over this physical difficulty? Jesus is saying, don't allow that to organize your life. It's difficult to do. It's easier said than done. You're right. But this is a wise counsel from Jesus. He's saying, if God clothes the grass in the field, in other words, if God does for the grass what we cannot even do, will he not take care of you? That's what Jesus is saying. The Gentiles seek after those things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first, what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God. Organize your life. Lead yourself to seek first the kingdom of God. And his kingdom is a kingdom of righteousness. Is a kingdom of peace. It's a kingdom of joy. That's what he wants for your life. Peace, joy, and righteousness to organize your life. His voice, his word, his kindness, his goodness. And as you allow his kingdom to organize your life, doors of opportunity will open. He will take care of your needs and you will begin to walk in a different light. Not anxious, as he continues and closes this, not anxious, but trusting God. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient is the day its own trouble, for the day is its own trouble. In other words, Jesus is saying, you will go through trouble. You will go through difficulties. Trials are a part of life. Do not let them shape your mind and organize your mind. Jesus knew. He knew that we needed to seek God first. So let me encourage you with this, to lead yourself this week and to think about 2021 from this framework, that we ought to lead ourselves. I believe that if you do that, if you think about leading yourself first, if you commit to living by conviction, to being a thermostat and not a thermometer, if you commit to being an example to others by seeking God first and not allowing the anxieties and the problems that are coming against you to organize your life, you will experience a 2021 full of victory, full of blessings, and your soul will be restored and renewed. You're not going to wake up every single day worried, not knowing what to do with your life. You wake up every single day focused on the kingdom of God and allowing that to lead your life. And as you do that, my God, you will see doors of opportunities open every single time. I believe that, and I declare that over your life in the name of Jesus. If you're watching this today and you do not have a relationship with God, I want to invite you to have a relationship with Him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And it is by following Him, by following His way, by following His way of life, His method for our lives, that we find plenitude, that we find connection, that we find oneness with God. We find true unity through Jesus. I want to invite you to follow His way. If you want to make that decision today, it's a first step toward a fresh start with God. Will you put your hand in your heart if you can, close your eyes if you can, and repeat after me. Say, Dear Jesus, come into my heart. I ask you to make you my Lord and my Savior. From this day forward, forgive me of my sins. I give you my heart, my past, my present, and my future. Amen. Listen, if you pray that simple prayer, we believe something new started. It is a fresh start with God. And I want to invite you to come back next week in person at Ripplewood Middle School if you live near us. Three things that we like to encourage you with. First is allow today to be a day of new beginnings. In other words, tomorrow the enemy will say nothing happened. It was just a video. You just watched something. Nothing really changed. It was just a podcast. It's a lie. God is working in your life, and you got to allow that to frame the rest of your life. So every single day in the morning, pray under your breath. It doesn't have to be a long prayer. Just talk to God and say, God, lead me today. I want to focus on you. Teach me what that means. Teach me how to follow you, and God will inspire you and He will lead you. Second thing is read your Bible. Start with the book of John if you've never read the Bible before. Read the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are the Gospels that detail the life of Jesus and what Jesus taught and what He did while on earth. It familiarize yourself with the life of Jesus. And the third thing is come back as often as you can. We tell people, give us a year of your life and you will never be the same. And that is true. If you commit for a year to being connected, joining Connect Group, being part of our Sundays, we believe your life will go better and you will find yourself in God. We love you so much. Thank you for watching. We hope to see you next Sunday. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He shine His face upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you. And may the Lord give you peace this week. Stay safe, everybody. I hear we're going to have some storms coming in this week. So I hope you stay safe. And we'll see you next Sunday at Ripplewood Middle School. God bless you.